Well, the Lord be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is the Lord our God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, good morning and welcome to church, everyone. We trust you are well and keeping safe, encouraged by God, and keeping in contact with one another. For those listening in for the first time, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We're followers of Jesus Christ together, and we invite you to know God with us. As we meet this morning and listen in, our church children are meeting via Zoom, and I gather having lots of fun learning about God with Emily and her team. To those who called or texted me during the week and said they enjoyed the walk through the Old Testament last week, thank you. This morning, you and I commence a new sermon series titled A New Beginning with God, learning from the story of God's people through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai. Rosemary will read to us from the Bible, and David will a little later, lead us in a time of prayer. As he prays, he'll be mindful of us all in lockdown, and in particular this month being our mission-focused month on children in our special religious education at schools, to be mindful of them who would normally be receiving special religious education at this time, but in our two local public schools, but due to lockdown and COVID, they're not meeting at this time until the end of term. And he'll also be mindful of Anglican school chaplains and those in the media. Before I pray, let's hear from the Word of God, from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us to worship you. Though absent from each other, united by your Spirit, may what we do be pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another, to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. So let's begin by standing and saying together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Rosemary is here with me this morning, and I'm just going to ask Rosemary a little question here. Rosemary, you're an essential worker at the moment, and you've been travelling into the surgery most days in the week. What have you thought on that's helped you as you go about your work at home and in lockdown?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's hard being in lockdown. I'm fortunate that I can get out and go to work every day, but as being a health worker, this also adds a level of stress to daily life, in that by doing what I do, I'm at a higher risk or a greater risk, and so is my family as I come back and travel home to them. I miss seeing and connecting with my family in person, as I'm sure you do as well. I have been finding it helpful. I've been listening to a few things on the radio as I travel to and from work, and I was listening to a short snippet on Hope Radio this week that reflected on how much relationships define us, because we're all more aware of relationships now that we're apart during this lockdown. And so I was thinking about what relationships define me. Of course, my relationship I have with my husband, my children, my grandchildren, my parents, my close relatives and friends define who I am. And they're all important to me, but I know the relationship that defines me best should be the relationship that I have with God. God desires to be close to me and designed me to be in a close relationship with him. And because of the high stress at the moment, I suppose sometimes we need to be clinging on to that relationship rather than the ones that are a little bit more stressed at the moment. So I thought to myself, I wonder how I actually do that. And I tend to do this, being me, in trying to remember scripture verses. And I tend to do that in song. So I know that singing is a big part of me and songs work for me. So I've been trying to remember some words from different songs that encourage me and remind me of the relationship that I have with God and how much he loves me. And I was remembering a song this week. We don't actually sing it here at Abbotsford, but we were singing it in some of the other churches that were in it, and it's from Psalms, and it goes, "All my attempts to be satisfied were vain and empty until the moment you rescued me and your love filled me. My soul sings, what blessed assurance I've found in you. I won't be shaken, I will not be moved. How steadfast your strong hand is keeping me." And then it goes on, it says, "Ever my anchor, ever my strong, ever my strength, ever my portion and all that I need, ever my healing, ever my hope, ever the truth that leads me home, what blessed assurance." So, yeah, that's just one of the things that I've been thinking of this week, and hopefully that's an encouragement to you. And yeah, try and read through Psalms. You've got 150 ways in which to remember how God loves us.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Venus. Thanks, Rosemary. Well, look, how about you read to us, pray for us, for hearing of God's word together.
So we're going to come to a time now where we're reading God's word together. So let me pray. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning's Bible readings, the first one comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, starting at verse 10 through to verse 14. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Our second reading comes from Ezra chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through to verse 11, and then from chapter 2, starting at verse 68. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth and has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. All their neighbours assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts, in addition to all the freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his God. Cyrus, king of Persia, had them bought by Mithridath, the treasurer, who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This was the inventory: gold dishes, 30, silver dishes, 1,000, silver pans, 29, gold bowls, 30, matching silver bowls, 410, other articles, 1,000. In all, there were 5,400 articles of gold and of silver. Sheshbazzar brought all these along with the exiles when they came up from Babylon to Jerusalem. When they arrived at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the heads of the families gave freewill offerings toward the rebuilding of the house of God on its site. According to their ability, they gave to the treasury for this work 61,000 darics of gold, 5,000 minas of silver, and 100 priestly garments. The priests, the Levites, the musicians, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants settled in their own towns, along with some of the other people, and the rest of the Israelites settled in their towns. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Rosemary. We'll turn to your Bibles now to Ezra chapter 1. Do you remember the story to begin with of the father who had two sons? There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. There are times in our life when we need a new beginning with God. And to know that God will welcome us when we do. When we know we've drifted carelessly into the world and its ways, neglecting the things of God, and we feel far from Him. Disappointment and frustration has caused us to avoid close fellowship with God. Time spent with God in prayer and Bible is bypassed. No longer is it a joy to think of meeting with His people. Other things have become more important. We've become lazy with God, and our relationship with Him and His people has become tired, cold, and uneventful. We wallow in the gloom of our separation and distance. Then we come to our senses, like the young man in the story. We want to return to the relationship we had with God. We've realized we've gone wrong. We want to ask for forgiveness. We want to, like the Son, go to our Heavenly Father and say to Him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before You. I'm not worthy to be called Your son. Make me one of Your hired hands. Forgive me." The Spirit of God moves us. Absence has made our heart grow fonder for what we once had. But will God forgive? Has God forgotten us? Will He want us back? Can I have a new beginning with God, a fresh start? Our travels in the Bible over the next few weeks give us an opportunity to learn from the example of God's people in the past, when they were given a new beginning with God. But chiefly, this time in God's Word is a time to remind us of how good God is to us, how faithful our Heavenly Father is. Today we travel back in time. It's around 537 BC. God's people had mostly forgotten their God. And as we heard last week from Deuteronomy 8, as a result, what God had foretold, if they did, came about. They lost the land God had promised them. It was taken from them, their place of dwelling, of worship, their home. The northern kingdom of Israel had been captured by the Assyrians to their north in 722 BC. The southern kingdom of Judah fell to the Babylonians to their east in 587 BC. Jerusalem and the temple were in ruins, and the people were dragged off into captivity into the empire of Babylon. And there they were in exile, God's people in a foreign land. We know when circumstances in life are the result of living not as God would want us. We know there is nothing to be proud about raising our fist at Him in anger and blaming Him. We know we are the cause of our situation. We are to blame for the situation we find ourselves in. By the rivers of Babylon, God's people sat and wept. Will God forgive? Has God forgotten? Will He want them back? The Book of Lamentations, as its name indicates, records the lamenting prayers of God's people during this time of absence and hope and coming to one's senses. I remember my affliction and my wandering, Lamentations 3, verses 19 to 26, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The scriptures remind us many of the plans of a person's heart, be they for good or not, Proverbs 19:21. But the Lord's purpose always prevails. They may have forgotten God, but God had not forgotten them. His purpose will prevail. God had made a promise to his people while in exile through the prophet Jeremiah to give them a new beginning with him. Look there at your Bible reading from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says, Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 14. When 70 years are completed by Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Those years have passed, and out of the gloom, working towards the fulfillment of what God promised through Jeremiah, the empire of Babylon fell. And God moved in the heart of the most obscure of people, their captor, the Persian king Cyrus, to look with favour on God's people and issue a decree permitting the Jews to return to Jerusalem. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, there in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, in order to fulfil the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at the Jerusalem in Judea. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem in Judea and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Isn't our God good? But not only did God move in the heart of Cyrus, but in his people too. Look there at verse 5. Then the family heads of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Knowing God had not forgotten them, that forgiveness could be found and a new beginning with God known, it filled them with hope and enthusiasm. And isn't that so true for us too? I know it is for me. When we come to our senses and return to the Lord our God, our Heavenly Father has not forgotten us. We are his son or daughter. and he has been waiting and watching. While we were still far off, our Heavenly Father saw us and, filled with compassion for us, runs to us, throws his arms around us and kisses us. And if we could hear him speak, we'd hear him say, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son, this daughter of mine, was dead and is alive again. They were lost and now are found. Let's celebrate." Verse 6. Not only that, God moved in the hearts of those who remained neighbours to assist them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuable gifts in addition to all the free will offerings. And more, verse 7. King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and had placed in the temple of his gods, and gave them back to take with them and return. So under the leadership of Sheshbazzar and Joshua the priest, chapter 2 lists there the names of those who returned, who were given and took hold of a new beginning with God. And the chapter ends there in verses 68 to 70 with them back and settled in Jerusalem, back in the land they lost and once was taken from them, their place of dwelling, of worship, their home. And with thankful hearts and a renewed trust in God, they set their minds and wills to the building of the temple, the symbolic place where God dwelt by his Spirit and fellowshipped with his people. There are times in our life when we need a new beginning with God, and to know that God will welcome us doing so. When we know we've drifted carelessly into the world and its ways, neglecting the things of God, and we feel far from him. Disappointment and frustration has caused us to avoid close fellowship with God. Time spent with him in prayer and Bible is bypassed. No longer is it a joy to think of meeting with his people. Other things have become more important. We've become lazy with God, and our relationship with him and his people has become tired, cold, and uneventful. We wallow in the gloom of our separation and distance, and then we come to our senses, like the young man in the story and God's people by the rivers of Babylon. We want to return to the relationship we had with God. We've realized we've gone wrong. We want to ask for forgiveness. We want to, like the Son, go to our Heavenly Father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired hands. Forgive me." The Spirit of God moves us. Absence has made our heart grow fonder for we once had. But will God forgive? Has God forgotten us? Will he want us back? Can I have a new beginning with God, a fresh start? Yes, we can. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. faithfulness, oh God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy and
let us arise and let us go to our Father and let us say to Him, Heavenly Father, we praise You for adopting us as Your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In Your mercy, You have washed us from our sins and made us clean in Your sight. Yet we still fail to love You and serve You as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by Your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to His Son for mercy. Amen. Thanks be to God. It's good to come to God. It's good that God invites us to pray, to come to Him, knowing He will answer our prayers in a way that fulfills His purposes in His timing and brings glory to His name and for our good. David is going to come now and lead us in a time of prayer. Thanks, David.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, we continue to pray for the world, our nation, our city, and ourselves as we respond to the coronavirus pandemic. You know all things, and through all circumstances of life, you accompany your people. We pray for the overarching challenge for our city of being in lockdown. Please help us to abide by the government directions. Give us ways of easing the mental burden of being housebound and not seeing family and friends. And especially for people whose financial livelihoods are at stake, give us ways to show support and care for those around us. We thank you for the provision of the vaccines and the answer to our prayers from last year to have a vaccine. And yet at the same time, we're now vulnerable because the rollout is still underway. Help the authorities to make wise decisions in how to expedite the rollout and help people to be confident in being administered the vaccine. Heavenly Father, we also continue to thank you for the medical workers who care for so many who are sick and seriously ill from this disease. Please strengthen them in their work. Give them protection through good protocols and safety equipment to be able to continue what they do. We also especially bring before you people who work in aged and disability care. We ask for them to also be kept safe at this time. Merciful Lord, with a rising toll in Sydney, but also with a continued global death toll above 50,000 people a week, there are many who mourn the loss of loved ones, are seriously ill, or are living in fear of this disease. Please comfort them and give them your peace and hope. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, so that they may find that peace which only you can give. Sovereign Father, give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. We also continue to ask that there will be increasing equity in the distribution of the vaccine around the world. It is distressing to continue to hear about the surge in cases and deaths in countries like Indonesia, Myanmar, Malaysia, and Thailand. Please help global leaders to make wise decisions for all people in all countries. And finally, Lord God, our Shepherd, grant to your people patience, compliance and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Lord God, we know that you are our strength and shield, so we pray for all this, putting our trust in you. Amen. Lord our God, we know that you love the truth and detest lies. At a time of needing to understand truth and how it is communicated in our society, we bring before you the important role of the journalism-based media and social media platforms in our society. We thank you for the work done by professional journalists who have a thirst for telling the truth based on facts and informing us of important stories and events that we need to know about or think about. Please prosper them in their work. We ask that you will uphold Christians who work in the media sector. What we see of this sector appears to often be cynical and critical of people who serve you. So we ask that you will give them confidence and strength to maintain the integrity of their faith in the work that they do and in the workplaces that they occupy. We ask that by this, they will be salt and light for the people around them and able to show your love and care for everyone. And Lord God, we ask for the role of media in our society to be protected and enhanced. Please protect us from misinformation and deliberate lies, and give us the wisdom to continue to know how to value and support good journalism. Amen. Almighty God, who commanded us to love you with all our mind, look with your gracious favour, we pray, on the teaching of special religious education in our two local schools, Russell Lee and Abbotsford, especially at a time when SRE is so disrupted by the schools moving to online learning. We ask that the SRE teachers will remain optimistic and ready to step in if the schools will allow it. Please open an avenue for the children who are signed up for SRE to be sent material and allow them to continue to be engaged in developing their faith during the lockdown. We also give you thanks and pray for the men and women of our diocese who are called to be school chaplains in our Anglican schools. Bless their efforts as they seek to pastorally care for the students, parents and staff. Give them patience and a willing and listening ear to deal with all issues that may come their way, and grant to them wisdom to provide sound and helpful advice when needed. In humility of heart, may they ever look to you for help and guidance, the source of all wisdom and understanding. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese, and especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael as our newly installed Archbishop. We ask that as he gets into his role, that you will guide him and give him wise counsel and insight into how to lead the diocese. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wider team of bishops and other staff across the diocese. We ask that you will give them unity of purpose and help them to work as a cohesive and collaborative team on behalf of your people. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets. Amen. And in the words of the collect for the day, let us pray that we will make good use of the gifts that God has given us. God, our Father and Protector, without you nothing is holy, nothing has value. Guide us to everlasting life by helping us to use wisely the blessings you have given to the world. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We bring before you Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock and Max Schweitzer. We turn to you, trusting that you will provide what is needed in all ways and at all times. Amen. Lord our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Well, as you would have received in your emails or in your letterbox, I draw your attention to the news and notes. And just to begin to invite you and to join me on Sunday night between 5 and 6 via Zoom, just to catch up with some fellowship and news and to pray together and encourage one another. And you'll find the link there in the email. If you've not got it and want it, give us a call and I'll send it off to you. Be mindful of you all. Well, we come to the end of our service and we trust that you've been reminded of the things of God and how good our God is. And since we are receiving a kingdom that can never be shaken, let us be thankful and so serve God in a way that is pleasing to him wherever we might be, with reverence and with awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.